This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, a family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone at his office in Northern Virginia, is medical doctor, internist, Dr. Tom Renfro. On November 1996, he got a death sentence. He was diagnosed with a specific type of lymphoma, mantle cell, which is the worst kind of lymphoma. There is no cure. There's not even any treatment. As a medical doctor, he knew exactly what he was up against. But God had had him teach about healing in the atonement, and he had been meditating and teaching on these scriptures anyway. And Tom and his wife, Sid, literally declared war. But some things were done to get this marvelous healing manifest in the natural realm that I do not see in many cases. And I have to believe that many Christians die prematurely because they don't have some of these ingredients. Tom, the thing that astounded me is how your church became, and your wife, became your support system. Tell me what they did.
Right. From the beginning, we incorporated the church into the battle. And the church supported us continuously all the way through to the healing with their prayers, with fasting, not only with physical things, preparing meals, but helping me. They were my rod and staff. And, you know, that's what God wants the church to do. So many people, when they get sick, they try to hide it like the man with the withered hand, just tuck it away to where nobody can see it. But Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, show it. God always, he always blesses people in broad daylight. He doesn't do it in the dark. He doesn't do it in secret. And the people of the church need to come together and say, this is my problem. This is what I'm facing. And
no, but wait a second. It wasn't their problem. It was your problem. And when the church starts loving their neighbor as they love themselves.
There you go.
That's when it's going to happen.
That's right. And that's what my church did for me. They literally surrounded me, physically and spiritually, surrounded me with themselves.
How was the prayer and the fasting organized?
Our associate pastor, Robbie Fultz, was dealt with to start a 40-day prayer. Symbolic of the 40 days on the mount that Moses went. And sometimes he would start out with a 24-hour-a-day prayer for 2 or 3 days, but we eventually evolved into a 40-day prayer. In fact, I told him, I think 40 days would be more appropriate. So 12 hours a day, somebody in the church was at the altar of the church, physically there, praying. They would sign up for a half-hour slot or an hour slot or a two-hour slot, and they would stay there praying until the next person came in and touched them or just came in and started praying. There was no conversation. There was no, hi, how are you doing? I'm here to take over. Wasn't that. There was praise music in the background, and there was an atmosphere of prayer created. For 40 days, 12 hours a day, somebody was physically at the altar praying.
Did you at points actually feel this in the spirit?
Oh, yes. Not only was there, I was able to participate in the prayer too. I would go when I could get out of the house, and I would go and take my slot, not only to pray for me, but to pray for other people that were fighting sickness and disease. And sometimes on Wednesday night when I was so sick, my wife would just call up to the prayer meeting, and they would stay all night interceding for me when I was having particular problems. And they would just be led by God. Sometimes God would wake a person up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, you need to pray for Dr. Renfro now. And then at 3 o'clock, they'd quit praying, and they'd say, I know why you quit, because God woke me up to pray. And God was in, he had his hand on this right from the beginning.
What effect, and I'm jumping the gun, but I'm going to do it intentionally. What effect did this miracle have on your church? Do you see a difference now because of them working as a team together with God and seeing that miracle in your life?
It utterly changed our church. It took us from where we were, and it set us on fire to be a church that would make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God. Even now, our church is utterly changed. We have regular healing services where people are brought from all over the area to be prayed for, to be anointed for, to be encouraged. We are pumping the word of God into them just like an IV medication, trying to encourage them to change their hearts and change their physical manifestations. And our church is utterly changed. It's not the same church as it was 4 years ago.
While you were fighting this disease, were there times that fear was winning in your life?
Yes, there was always a battle of fear. There was always a battle of the what ifs. But the way I combated that fear is with the Word of God.
What did you do exactly? Spell it out.
All right. Sometimes I'd have to go all the way back to the day of my salvation when God saved me. And I would start there when I felt like there was hopeless, when I could not feel the presence of God, when I felt like, oh, all this is useless. You know, the devil will tell you that. But then there was something that would rise inside of me, and I would go back and I would start building up precept and scripture upon scripture until whatever was bothering me had to leave. In other words, the fear was replaced with faith.
I hear what you're saying, but I saw the pictures. I saw those tumors jumping out of your body. I mean, you went all the way to the fourth stage of cancer. You weren't getting better. You were getting worse. How did you keep yourself going with seeing yourself and as a doctor, understanding it better than most people, just totally deteriorating?
I had to keep my focus on Christ. And I found out early in the disease when I focused on him, the rest of this stuff faded away. I couldn't do anything about the tumors. Medicine couldn't do anything about the tumors. Me worrying about it is not going to do anything about the tumors. But I could do something when I kept my faith and my focus on Christ and his joy, his strength, his promise, his hope would infuse in me and lift me up. And whatever the problem was, it would have to disappear because I was replacing the fear with the promises of God, knowing that God was going to take care of this, having that faith that I didn't have to worry about it. He was going to take care of it. And, you know, he never let me down.
But explain this to me. There was a point where the Lord spoke to you and asked you a question.
Right.
Tell me about that.
When things were at, it seemed like I had done everything that I knew of what to do to be healed, but the tumors were still there. Everything was going worse. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said the most profound thing. He said, Tom, when are you going to start fighting? And what he was doing, there were two issues.
Wait a second. You were fighting. I mean, you were fighting as much as you knew how.
Right.
How could he say that to you?
Isn't that something? God knows everything about us. and he can reach into the deepest, darkest chasms of our heart, and he can pull out those dark places that need light shined on them. There were two areas that I had not taken care of. One of them was a fear of facing chemotherapy. The other one was getting my last will and testimony written.
Well, wait a second. If you're planning on living, what's the big deal about getting your last will written?
Well, I found out later what God was doing. And he's doing the same thing for all of us. I thought in my natural, as a physician, if I put my name on my last will and testimony, that I would be basically saying, thank you, Lord, for trying, but I guess you can't do it.
Yeah, that's what my logical mind would say.
But, you know, that's a lie of the devil. Isaiah went to King Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20 and said, O king, you're going to die and not live. Set your house in order. Okay?
Okay.
Now, why did God bother to tell Hezekiah to set his house in order?
Good question. Why?
Same reason God tells us to set our house in order. Jesus told us in John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for steal, kill, and destroy. He not only wants us to steal and kill and destroy everything while we're alive, but every blessing that God has given us, he wants that destroyed too, even after we've gone on to glory. How many people have known a family whose children, whose mom and dad has gone on, but their children are fighting over a piece of land, over a little bit of money, over an inheritance?
It seems to me that God was more interested in something else than that. He was more interested in you defeating those two areas of fear in your life.
That's it. And that was an area of fear in my life that I neglected to do.
You know, we're out of time right now, Dr. Renfro. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. But, Ms. Bruchat, there is a two-hour video. It's not a reenactment. You literally see Dr. Renfro's body deteriorate. Why did you produce this two-hour video, Tom?
Our pastor told us to. He said, we're back up in these mountains in Appalachia, and when God heals you, there will be nobody that believes it. So get the cameras, get them rolling, get the pictures of this. Our pastor had the insight of God to videotape this and to take it to where people can be encouraged.
You know, it's sort of like when you read the New Testament and you read about Jesus going around and healing the sick, and you read it. But this is, how would you like to not see a reenactment, but actually see Jesus pray for that blind person and put mud in his eyes and actually see it, not a reenactment. That's what goes on here. Talk about a faith injection. If you know anyone that needs encouragement for the impossible, this is the video. Some of it's a little home video type, but it's very clear. $18 postage paid for the two-hour video on Dr. Tom Renfro. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.